Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Steve, this
Merry
is a
Christmas.
Special day. Merry
it is,
Christmas.
Man, it is.
Well, it's always wonderful to take this time to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. This
Amen.
Is such an awesome day, and we hope that you are enjoying your day with friends and family and remembering what this day is all about. But we want to quickly take you to where our interns conducted these really awesome interviews, and I want you to hear what random people in the community had to say about Christmas. Watch this.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I'm with the VFN interns, and we're here in downtown Pensacola asking people about Christmas. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Christmas?
Joy. Happiness. Pretty much joy.
It's a really wonderful time of year. What would you say is your favorite Christmas memory?
Oh my goodness. My favorite Christmas memory would be, probably most recently, with my, my sister. She passed away before she passed away. Spending Christmas with her, that was my favorite.
I used to spend Christmas with my grandmother before she passed away too, so I know how it feels. Can you tell me, just, if you could have anything for Christmas, what would it be? Like, absolutely anything back. What would you want?
I'd like to go to California and spend it with my family and my friends out in California.
That's great. Thank you so much for talking with me.
I'm Isaiah Ramos, and I'm with the VFN interns with VFN TV. And I just want to ask you about, what is Christmas to you?
Family love.
Family love. Can you explain that more?
My family gathers together. We all love each other, and we have a wonderful time. Pray to God that we get together next year, too.
Yes, that is very good. So what's your favorite memory out of all your life?
That's a hard question. Maybe my memory is yet to come.
They're very funny. Very funny. Okay, so last question. If you could have anything you want for this Christmas, what would it be?
Just my friends.
Your friends. Okay. And
I lost my wife a year and a half ago, and now I've gathered friends.
Oh, wow. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Lord, I just pray for, what's your name? I just pray for Jerry Brown, and that he will know you, God, and that you would bless him in his days, give him grace. And everything that he's going through right now, I ask that you bless his health, his mind. I ask that you bless everything in his world, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you could describe Christmas, what it means to you in three words, what would it be?
Family, love, community.
Yeah, it's definitely a great way to describe it. If you could have intern for VFN TV, I'd like to know if I could ask you a couple questions about a project we're doing about Christmas memories.
Absolutely.
Okay. The first question, what is your favorite Christmas memory?
My favorite? Do I have a minute to think about that? I guess it would be my mother singing Christmas carols to me in her native language, German.
That's pretty cool. If you could describe Christmas to you, what it means to you in three words, what would it be?
Family, joy, and hope.
Yes, definitely. It's definitely a great way to describe it. If you could have anything this Christmas, anything in the entire world, what would it be?
Oh, easy. Peace. Absolutely. People getting along with each other. Peace on earth. Truly.
My name is Elijah, and I'm an intern at VFN TV, and I'd like to ask you a few questions about Christmas.
Okay.
What is your fondest memory of Christmas?
Probably one with my kids sometime a couple years back.
Wow, great. What is three things that come to mind when you think about Christmas?
Christ. And gifts, and I can't think of a third one.
I guess love. Love,
that's a good one. Gratitude.
Yes, gratitude. If you could have anything for Christmas, anything, what would it be?
I'd like to go see my kids in Ohio.
You miss them?
Couple of years, and I'd love to go see him.
So I'm an intern, and I wanted to ask you about what you think Christmas is.
Oh, I love the time of year. It's family, it's love, beautiful people, love. Yeah. I feel about it, love.
Yeah. If you could describe Christmas in three words, how would you? What words would they be?
I love Christmas.
And if you could ask for anything for Christmas, what would it be?
Peace.
Peace. I agree. Thank you.
So our project is about Christmas, and we want to ask you three things on how you would describe Christmas.
Christmas is family, friends, and relaxing and having a joyful time.
Oh, that's good. All right. So for Christmas, what was your favorite Christmas memory?
My favorite Christmas memory was going to my grandparents' house, sitting by the fireplace, and they would tell us stories.
That's really good. So, last question. If you had one thing that you could have this Christmas, what would it be?
Oh, that's a tough one. I guess it would be to have my entire family together.
Yeah, I can say the same thing, too.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
That is encouraging.
That is so, so encouraging. Our interns had a good time interviewing so many random people and getting their thoughts and mm-hmm. letting them express those things that are important to them regarding Christmas. But we have more. I want you to watch this.
Hi, Brad. What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Christmas?
My kids. Yes.
And what is your favorite Christmas memory with them?
Looking at the Christmas lights, driving around looking at all the Christmas lights, yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to do with my mom on Christmas, too. And if you could think of three words to describe Christmas, what would it be?
Merry. And joy. Yeah.
If you could have anything for Christmas, absolutely anything, what would it be?
I got all that I need. Not to sound cliche, but being serious.
What is your fondest memory about Christmas?
Being with my family.
It's a great one. What are three things that come to mind when you think about Christmas?
Santa, Rudolph, and my daughter.
If you could have anything for Christmas, anything you wanted, what would it be?
$1 million.
What's your favorite Christmas memory?
My favorite Christmas memory is not here, but back where I used to live overseas. We were all singing Christmas carols and playing on the radio. And all of a sudden, my sister just like breaks out in dance and just starts running up and down the hallways, acting crazy. So me being not much older than her, just join her and start dancing along with her all up and down the hallway. And then my mom gets the whole thing on tape. And then the following, like four Christmases later, I completely forget about it.
If you could describe Christmas in three words, how would you describe it?
Memories, family, giving.
Yeah, I would definitely describe them that way too. If you could have anything at all for Christmas, this Christmas, what would you have?
Probably to actually have all my family together for Christmas, because we are all separated overseas, so we haven't had a Christmas together in almost maybe a decade.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I hope you guys get back together.
What's Christmas to you?
Christmas is having fun with family.
Oh, that's really good. I like that too. So describe three things that that Christmas is about. Describe, if you can name three things about Christmas, what would it be?
Christmas is birth of Christ. where I'm from, we go to church, we exchange maybe a couple presents, but mostly spend time fellowship with family.
That's very good, yes.
Where I'm from Kiev.
Repeat that?
I'm from Kiev, Russia.
Okay. Last question. If you could have one thing this Christmas, what would it be?
I would like to see everybody stop fighting.
Yes, that's a definite thing. That's a definite thing.
Can you tell me your favorite Christmas memory?
My favorite Christmas memory is the time when I was 8 years old and I thought I heard Rudolph on the roof, and I woke up and thought I saw him take off.
That's a good memory. Yeah. And can you tell me what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about Christmas personally?
Family. Coming together, giving, the spirit of celebrating Jesus' birthday. It's just a wonderful time of year.
I agree. And can you tell me what's one thing you would ask for if you could have absolutely anything? What would it be for Christmas?
I would love to be able to let the whole world taste my salsa.
That's a wonderful thing.
It makes the world a better place.
I believe you. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Hi, ma'am.
Hi.
I'm with VFN TV, and I'm an intern. I would like to ask you a few questions about Christmas. What is your fondest memory of Christmas?
Spending time with my family.
Great. That's mine, too. If you had three things that you think about when you think about Christmas, what would they be?
My mother and my brother, since they are past, and my children.
Great. If you could have anything for Christmas, anything you wanted, what would it be?
My mother and my brother.
Great, great.
What is your favorite Christmas memory?
My favorite Christmas memory, I think, was baking cookies with my mom. Usually we would do it a couple of days before Christmas Eve, and always just was a good memory. Good memory. I like the smells and having our fire in our fireplace. That was
good. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. If you could describe Christmas, what it means to you in three words, what would it be?
In three words? God is good.
God is good.
God is definitely good. If you could have anything for Christmas, if you could have anything at all in the entire world, what would it be?
Oh, my. Just for every family to be together and know the love of God.
Can I ask you a couple questions? Okay, so my name is Isaiah Ramos, and I'm with the VFN interns. And I just want to ask you a couple questions about Christmas. Okay, so what is Christmas to you? Like, what is Christmas to you?
Christmas is, to me, it means a lot. It means that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season, and it means that to live a joyful life and be happy with your family and just enjoy that day.
Yes, yes it is. And we could do that all around year to celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday. So second question is, if you could describe Christmas in three words, what would it be?
Joyful, happiness, and love.
That's very good. Yes, love is very important because God has shared his love with us. So last question, if you could have anything for this Christmas, anything, I mean, it could be anything, what would it be?
Oh, wow, that's a big question here. Just be blessed.
Be blessed.
Wow. It was such a wonderful interview, Steve.
Yeah. It's so awesome to see, to go out right where the people are and ask them, hey, like, what do you think about these moments? Why is this day different?
Yeah. We want to go straight. We want to go straight to a connect the dots moments where we have talked about Christmas and what was it like when Joseph and Mary were trying to find a place, you know, and there was no room in the inn. And kind of Greg shares a funny story about this. Watch this.
And of all the things you think about as you're going to a city, I don't know if you've ever been to a city before or community before where an event was going on or something was happening, but there's no vacancies. There's no vacancies. And so you check this one, you check that one. I remember going to a Promise Keepers event in New Orleans. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious. Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that sometimes. And we got there, and we already had reservations, you know, on Canal Street. It was at the Days Inn or something right off the Interstate 10. It's in visual distance of the Superdome, which, of course, Pat is in awe. And and we get there, and they're overbooked. They're overbooked.
Oh, no.
And, of course, you have all these Christian men that are coming there looking at the ability to bear fruit now.
Right.
You know, is now when you're finding out you are on Canal Street in New Orleans.
Being severely tested,
and you do not have a room. And, of course, you know, I was very patient and kind. I think I said something, you know, this is my early days, right? You're going to give us our room. Right. I invited, Pat was a heathen then, I believe. Were you a heathen then?
Oh.
You weren't? It was close.
What is a heathen?
It was fresh. He still smelled like heathen. No, he was a brand new believer. And
I wouldn't have went.
You wouldn't have? No. Superdome?
Maybe.
Yeah, all right. Superdome. And then we had two other people with us. We'll talk about that right now. And which was hilarious. Whole nother story. Oh, yeah. And we're standing there with four guys, you know, about to have this big event in the Superdome. And this clerk looks at us and just basically says, you know, you don't have any room. We don't have any rooms. And they're all kind of looking at us like that. And, of course, I said, listen, you know, because I invited everybody to go. And I said, you got to give us a room. I mean, this, you got to have a room. And so they leaned down and they whispered in somebody's ear and said something to the idea is like, give them 401. You know, you know, I was like, oh, my goodness, the room that they never rent, we got. And whatever it was. And it was like, it was rare in things to help you out. It was a basic, very basic room. I think it was a broom closet that threw some beds in. I don't know. It was a rough room. And that is definitely an amazing time. But there was no room. Imagine that. You're stuck here in this city. Now imagine you're there with a pregnant wife. Mm. You know, she's going through contractions and she's just going, you know, I mean, she can't say, Joseph, you got me into this. Like, you know, because God's the father of Jesus, but she's going through contractions. Think about that.
Yeah. And there's no hospital.
Well, you think about it, the contractions going down even today in the earth, or the earth is contracting about the birth, the return of our Lord. But now at this point, our Lord is a child in the womb of Mary about to be birthed. And just like it was for us in New Orleans, there was no vacancies. There was no room for Mary and Joseph. And think about it. They had no idea that they weren't providing a room for the Son of God. Can you imagine, you know, it's like, oh, my goodness, I should have gave them my room. I can't believe that I didn't give them my room. And, of course, Jesus is so humble, and God's trying to—he's humble, and he's showing us humility that he's willing to be born in a barn, in a manger, you know, and that's what happened. There was no room, and here she is going through these, you know, contractions, and the day's getting close, and there was no room for Jesus in the, we would say today, hotel or motel, but they said the inn, you know, I-N-N, and it's just like, oh my goodness, that is just totally something. But yet, despite having no room, that they still found a place, Joseph found a place for his wife to comfort her in a barn, in a place where the animals were kept, in a manger, made a manger out of what was there, laid, and then Jesus was born, and laid Jesus in this manger. Of course, all of heaven is watching this because this is the birth of the Son of God. And men are still pondering all this, trying to figure it out. And all of a sudden, some shepherds come. You know, shepherds come because they have this appearance of angels and, you know, says, for unto you today, and these awesome things. And then these wise men started coming with the gifts of frankincense and myrrh, and they're seeing in gold because they saw a sign, a star. And I mean, all these, everything's shifting. Everybody's going, this is it. This is it. And Mary and Joseph are just pondering, you know, I was just trying to find a room. We just finally had a baby. And it took a while to kind of, you know, what does this mean? And this is a powerful day that we celebrate. That's why you have manger scenes put up in people's homes. And that's why you find that the people that are held captive by Satan, they let their mouths and their hearts be used by the adversary are against putting a manger scene up because that is a depiction of this day.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because you think, why in the world, you know, a few little wooden things or plastic things with a light on it and some live sheep around it and, a little small little baby and some straw. What's the big deal? Because it's a huge deal. It's the representation of the day that God met man, that Jesus left the splendors of heaven and came, was born of a woman to be all man and all God, though he did not use any part of his Godhead. He just lived his life as a man. And that was the day that that the enemy knows. So a manger scene is like, to Satan, is like the worst case scenario, mm-hmm. because that's the day that proves that Jesus was born of a woman, but yet his father was God, mm-hmm. and that he was going to take away the sins of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, and the sin is what kept, you know, Satan's crew together. But when you get your sin forgiven, he loses you. The captive's set free by Jesus. So right. he hates the manger scene. So don't take it lightly when somebody says, hey, you know, that, you know, we want to take this manger scene down. Just say no.
Right.
Just say no. And I was so excited. I mentioned earlier, I think last week, that there was a city, a little small city, that was threatened by ACLU that if they put up their manger scene, they were going to be sued. So they decided in a roundabout way of not putting it up by saying it's old, we're not going to buy a new one. Well, I'm so excited to report that several churches heard about that in the area. They bought the manger scene for like $5 or something from the government, and they set it up on a property right across the street from City Hall.
Oh, wow.
That's so beautiful. That's what we got to do. We got to just take charge and say, you know, we can work this out. Mm. As a matter of fact, every city needs a piece of public viewed private land that the church mm-hmm. owns. That you can do whatever you want to as a witness, you know, find right in the center of the city, you know, buy some building or something, tear it down, whatever you got to do. And that's your piece of property that you're going to put crosses on. You're going to put, you know, mm-hmm. Celebrate Easter on. Everybody's got to see it. Mm-hmm. And I'm cool with that. You know, they want to talk about separation of church and state. Well, fine. Okay. Then when the state needs to shrink, it needs to get smaller. That's fine. Sell all your assets, get rid of everything. Small government. And give us our money back, and we'll take that money, and we'll buy land, and it'll be our land, and we'll put whatever we want on the land. Mm-hmm. It's just the government's trying to, you know, it's too big. Mm-hmm. And that works if the government gets small, but if you keep buying everything, it's like, hey, we got to put it up somewhere. But several churches went and bought the very same manger scene that ACLU, or actually the devil through the ACLU, was trying to keep from going up, and ended up right across from City Hall in that small city.
Beautiful.
Wow. I'd encourage you, don't just throw your hands up when you see that. Just think about what you can do. And it's a business that was right across the street that was out of business. Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, use our property. Go ahead and use our property. They set it up right in front of the business, right in the face of the city who denied, the city councilman who denied putting that up. You know, I just pray that the city councilman just repents and say, you know what? You know, even if we get sued, even think about this. We got to learn to understand that when you stand up for God, everybody's not happy. And half of the New Testament was written from prison. Mm-hmm. Jesus was crucified. James was hung. Right. Peter was crucified upside down. When you stand up for God, I mean, things are going to happen. So we can't keep avoiding pain and justify before God and say, hey, you know, Lord, they were going to take $10 from me, and I didn't want to lose $10, so you understand why I didn't acknowledge you today.
Mm. Right.
But think you can't explain that at the throne room of God. You can't explain that. So I encourage you, you know, let's put up, you know, for every manger scene taken down, let's put up 10 more. I mean, you can get them. You can order them online. They got these wooden manger scenes now that are pretty cool. This seems like pretty basic stuff that you just kind of put together and shine light on it. It looks really sharp. They got plastic ones. But anything just represents, you know, what happened on Christmas Day. And it reminds people, you know, and so many kids and so many people are excited about this day because a lot of reasons. But we as believing parents, you know, we need to be able to tell them what it's all about and show them what it's all about and think about service to others. I mean, mm-hmm. think about reaching outside and for every dollar that we spend on ourselves, let's spend a dollar on somebody outside our family that's in need. I mean, think about it. If you buy one gift for, you know, Bobby, we'll also buy a gift for this homeless man, this homeless lady, or, you know, feed somebody or, you know, buy a bag of gifts. When the sheriff's department was a deputy, the deputies used to gather a whole bunch of gifts and we put it in a big bag and then a family would get nominated, and then we would drop that whole bag of gifts off to a family that was needy that didn't have any Christmas. And all of a sudden, these deputies would come in with these big bag of gifts, you know, big sack of gifts, and
a
tree with nothing under it, and it'd just be filled with gifts.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was just an awesome, awesome thing. It's time to really think about others, because when Jesus was born, he was born to die because of others, because of Father God, his Father, and because of us. That he loved us so much and loves us so much that he was willing to endure the cross, its scorn and its shame, for the joy that was set on the other side of being with us. And so I just want to encourage you this Christmas, just to, you know, remember what it's about. It's about Christmas.
There's nothing like perspective. Christmas, it's all about Jesus and his love for the entire world, for everyone. Well, we want to go to break. And before we go to break, I do want to talk to you about the Vine Seminar. It is soon approaching, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. Watch these announcements.
So what do you do? I mean, you got this difficult times that test men's souls coming to the earth. What does the church do? We just go back to the original intent of the church. It's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. And it's not hard. But it's the one thing that's being fought the most in society. It's called relationship. It's called loving one another, spending time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Those things only happen in the context of a relationship. Discipleship's caught in relationships better than taught in some particular classroom type setting. When you look at the church in its original intent, was that a mistake? You know, the fact that they were meeting together and eating together and did they just not figure out how to build a huge complex yet? I mean, what's going on? But then you go back and go, well, the fear of the Lord was there, that miracles was happening amongst them, signs and wonders, and they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching. And but it's really, you know, we went on this journey some time back, you know, understanding what does it mean to be the church, you know, and he says, go ye into all the world, but yet we have this come ye type mentality, right? Come ye to my church, come to my building, come to my meeting, come to this thing. And it's like, but no, we're not going out. And by not going out, other things are going out and promulgating something different than the gospel, darkness. And we had to find out we're supposed to be a go-y church instead of a come-y church. That God, as Christians, we're supposed to go out. As we begin to understand that and walk that out and say, you know what, we're going to do, if it takes 10 years, we're going to do exactly what the Lord said. And begin to walk that out. And what we found out in beginning to walk out the pattern of the church, that God loves it. He is so into his kingdom. The fullness of, like, you know, one man said, it was like stepping out of a flower pot into the fourth chapter of Acts, the things that begin to happen. And it's exciting. It's exhilarating. And God wants to be, you know, God, we got the word of God back to the church. We got to get the church to pick it up again. God wants his church back. He wants us to be loyal to his voice and to follow him. There's only one church, the church under Jesus Christ as the head.
That's right.
And he wants his church back. What we did was we said, you know, how can we put something together to share our experience? We call it the Vine Seminar. You think about it. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, you know, it's impossible. It's impossible to be fruitful unless we abide in him, abide in the vine. He says, I'm the vine, my Father's the gardener, you're the branches. And so what we did, we came together and we put together what we call the Vine Seminar. It's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. It's a limited amount of seating in it. You can sign up for it at vfntv.com under events. You'll see Vine Seminar there. And we want to just share our experiences. And it's not as hard. It's, you know, you're gonna enjoy church again. If God's calling you to begin to walk that way, then you're gonna begin to enjoy it. It's an amazing thing, you know. And I really believe from what we've seen, and that the Spirit of the Lord is so pleased when we come together and love each other and spend time with each other and dedicate ourselves to His Word. He shows up in a powerful way and heals and delivers and signs and wonders and miracles and dreams. Find out more. Go to vfntv.com, upper right-hand corner, you see events. Hover over that. You'll see the Vine Seminar. Sign up for it today. It's limited space. Make sure you get in.
Well, as we're coming to the end of our program, we do have a special song for you. Oh Come Emmanuel. A little bit of a modern twist and a vision of, you know, times past, but all combined together to show you something that's pretty remarkable and hopefully bring a big smile to your face. Watch this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Isaiah 9:6. Merry Christmas. We want to pray for you. We ask you, please continue to pray for us. Father God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you would leave the splendors of heaven and be united to us, Lord, that you would come down, God, and be like us. We thank you not only for your birth, but for your death and for your resurrection. We love you, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, grace us, Lord, to love you more and to share the good news, Lord, the gospel all across the world. Happy birthday, Jesus. We love you. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.